One at the moment, which people are really talking about, is chickens, where the residents want to have chickens, or the home would like to have chickens for the residents to go out and see and interact with. And the eggs, can the eggs be used?
Welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast, the show that's dedicated to helping age and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry.
So if an aged care facility keeps chickens, can you eat the eggs? How about vegetables from the vegetable garden? What about bringing in soft cheeses, cured meats, and melons? Well, in the wake of the recent strawberry scandal here in Australia, food safety is a hot topic. I'm Michael Peachey, Executive Director of WNL Mobile Healthcare Services, and today we're joined by Emma Allen of Simple Food Safety. In this interview, we discuss some of the common myths and misconceptions to do with food safety. One of the things I really love about this interview is that Emma goes into some great detail and provides some practical examples of what an organisation can do to make their aged care facility more home-like. So here's Emma from Simple Food Safety. Emma, welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, just so our listeners can get a bit of a sense of where you're coming from, can you just give us a bit of a background as to how you got into food safety?
Okay. I actually came from the hospitality industry. So I was a chef for many years, and I was working for an international hotel chain. And they had decided that they wanted to develop and implement a food safety system. And I was part of that process. I found it enjoyable and I really loved it. So I decided to leave the kitchen and follow a career in food safety.
Excellent. And so what exactly, when we're talking food safety, what does that involve on a day-to-day basis for yourself?
Okay, so I'm a food safety consultant. And that's quite a broad umbrella. So I provide consulting services on site and off site. So when people need help to improve their food safety standards, or if they want to make any changes to their current system to meet legislative requirements, I also provide audits. So that can be a range of audits, including regulatory audits, so representing the government, and also types of internal audits or gap analysis audits as well. And that can be used to identify if there's any deficiencies in a client system, and we can find ways to make improvements and sustain those improvements, and training as well. Finally, provide software, so digitization of food safety management as well.
Okay, and you mentioned doing the audits from the government side, so that means not only helping aged care clients, but you're also sometimes the one inspecting them and make sure they're ticking all the boxes, is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we can help when we have a private audit, but when we provide the regulatory audit service, we're actually assessing that the aged care facility meets the requirements of the Food Standards Code and also the requirements of their internal food safety program as well. And each aged care facility needs to be able to demonstrate that they are compliant against legislation and making sure that their residents are safe.
Okay, and you mentioned the food safety code there, but also the organisation's own internal policies. What are some of the key concepts? What exactly do the regulations say? Is there an overarching theme, or is it a matter of rote learning specific rules and regulations, or what's the broad brush approach there?
Well, what we work against is the Food Standards Code, and there's a particular chapter in the code which outlines any type of food business that provides what we call a potentially hazardous food to six or more vulnerable people have to develop and implement a food safety program. So that's very clearly stated in the legislation. It also gives, I would say, probably an ambiguous overview of what that food safety program must do. But ultimately, a facility needs to identify through all of their food handling processes what potentially can contaminate a food product, and how do they control that risk of contamination? So either managing that risk or removing that risk altogether. In the food safety program, they need to be able to demonstrate this and support this through policies and procedures. And part of this also includes daily monitoring as well. So that's things like taking temperatures, recording times, documenting food products, where they can demonstrate that those foods are safe, and that's generally through time or temperature control.
Okay, so it sounds like it's not necessarily a black and white set of, you know, criteria. It's more of a risk management approach in a lot of areas, looking at, you know, hierarchy of controls and severity of risk versus probability of outcome. Is that about right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right, because everything is not created equal. So what we actually have is we call them food safety hazards. And a food safety hazard is something that can contaminate a food product, which can cause harm or injury to the consumer and also discomfort as well. And they're all not created equal. So to give you an example, if a piece of hair or somebody's hair was found in a food product, that is very different to, let's say, a piece of glass being found in a food product. So we manage those risks differently, and we call those risks actually food safety hazards. And we actually break them down into four categories. And the first one is being bacterial, which can cause food poisoning. We then have physical, and that can come from a range of different sources. So as I said, the example of the hair falling into a food product, a Band-Aid, something, let's say your lights aren't covered in your kitchen. They can, and you have a globe or something like that that shatters or explodes, that can cause a risk of physical contamination. We then have chemical contamination, and this could be cleaning chemicals or naturally occurring toxins in certain foods. And then we have allergens. So for people who have an allergy to a particular food product, it can be very dangerous for some people, and some people it can also be fatal as well. So that's what we have to control throughout your entire food safety system or your food handling processes.
Okay, so from that then, I'm guessing out there in the industry, there's a lot of organisations who have taken the code and have then instead implemented, you know, the most stringent controls. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, that's probably perpetuated some myths and misconceptions about what you can and can't do.
Yes.
What are some of the popular, you know, myths that you hear in aged care about what an organisation can't do when they potentially could if they have appropriate controls in place?
Yeah, there is quite a few areas. And I think one at the moment which people are really talking about is chickens, where the residents want to have chickens, or the home would like to have chickens for the residents to go out and see and interact with. And the eggs, can the eggs be used? So throughout the industry, a lot of people they're informed that no, this can't be done, but it can be done. There's actually nothing which is written in legislation that says you can't do it. But what a facility does need to do is identify, well, what potential hazards or risks do we have with serving the fresh eggs to our residents? And all of those risks can actually be managed. So that's all a facility needs to be able to do is identify a reasonable hazard which is likely or expected to occur, and then put a control in place. And that can easily be done. Other things like vegetable gardens, producing your own food products, cooking and preparing them for the residents, all of that can be managed through the correct identification of food safety hazards and then putting the controls in place. But we've heard many, many different stories from aged care facilities where they've been told they can't serve what we call higher risk foods, so processed meats, soft cheeses, dips, melons, all of those products can be served as long as we have suitable controls in place.
Okay, excellent. And if you do have an auditor who comes in and says, you know, what are you guys doing serving, you know, salami and with brie?
Yeah.
And by the way, how come you're eating those eggs?
Yeah.
You know, if they're taking that hardline approach and says, no, you're not allowed to do this.
Yeah.
How would you respond to that sort of situation?
Yeah, it can be a little bit tricky, and it can be frightening as well. So an audit can be a very nerve-wracking experience. But it's important that a facility actually understands the legislation that they're working against. It's very easy for an auditor to point the finger and say, no, 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 you can't do this or you can't do that. But the Food Standards Code actually states that the responsibility or what we need in our food safety program is where we identify reasonably expected hazards that would occur and put a control in place. there is actually nothing that says you cannot serve those food products. So first, we need to understand that. A facility then needs to understand, well, what potential hazards could there be? Once they're identified and they develop the controls and put them in place, if those controls are suitable, then that food product can actually be served. But that's easier said than done, because if you do have an auditor who's pointing the finger and says, no, 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 the last thing you want to do is actually get into an argument with them. So I would suggest that the facility firstly is confident about their legislation, about their food safety program, and actually understand what they're trying to manage and control. And you can always get external help for that as well. During the audit process, you can demonstrate that to the auditor, communicate with them. But unfortunately, there are some cases where a facility has been penalised even though they've gone through that process. If you can't communicate with the auditor or they're not going to accept your identification of hazards and the controls that you have in place, you can always approach the regulator and talk to the regulator about it. And to be honest, in New South Wales, we've always had a great result and great feedback when we have had an issue with an auditor. And we have gone to the New South Wales Food Authority on behalf of the facility. We have put our case forward, and every time we've actually had the decision reversed.
Okay, gotcha. And you mentioned there about having adequate controls.
Yes.
I guess it'd be remiss of me if I didn't ask, what are some examples of some adequate controls for the chickens, the eggs, the veggie gardens, the soft cheese?
Okay. So what we generally do, if we were advising to a client of what they would need to have, is say like a simple policy. So to give you a couple of examples of the chickens, we would have in a policy that the laying area is kept clean. We would have the chickens are kept free of disease. We would have where the eggs are collected every day in a clean, sanitized container. The eggs are assessed for any cracks or heavy soiling, and if they are cracked or have heavy soiling, they're to be discarded and not used. When they're brought to the kitchen, something as simple as not washing your eggs is important, where we can do a dry clean of those eggs. We would put them into chilled storage in a clean, sanitized container. We would also date that batch of eggs as well. And when we are cooking them, we would cook them to the standard to make sure that the yolk is beginning to thicken and the white is firm. So all of that's written into a policy, and it addresses different hazards. So if the egg is cracked, then we have a risk of bacterial contamination, so we get rid of the cracked eggs. We don't wash the eggs because the shell is porous, so we can do a dry clean or a dry sanitizer clean, which reduces the risk down again. So throughout each of those steps, we know that there potentially could something happen, but we have that simple control that goes into place, and that is sufficient for the residents to be able to have the chickens. They can collect the eggs themselves, and if we follow all those steps, it's a pretty safe process. So with your veggie gardens, we would generally say be aware of the types of fertilisers that you're using. Follow the direction of the company that's providing the fertilisers. Use good quality. The produce that you were producing, make sure it's clean when it comes into the kitchen. A lot of facilities have a sanitation process. If they are serving melons, then that produce can go through the sanitation process or be washed. Some facilities also choose that the fresh produce is going to be cooked. So it has a heat treatment step. So we have the ability or the potential ability to be able to kill certain harmful pathogens that could be a risk there. So there's heaps of different ways, and the residents love it. If they go out to the garden and they can collect their eggs and they can collect their veggies, bring them back to the kitchen can prepare them safely and put them in a beautiful dish, and it's just fantastic.
And you know what? That was a very detailed answer, so thank you. but no, that's great, because it just highlights that, you know, that's demonstrating a lot of controls, but yes, none of those were particularly onerous. They were actually all common sense and what you do at home with your own chickens and veggie garden anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And a lot of things are common sense. If people reflect on, well, what do you do? It's common sense. So to give an example, I was actually on site training a group yesterday, and we were talking about receiving food products into the facility, frozen foods. So some facilities try and take a temperature of frozen foods with a probe thermometer, which just makes no sense at all because it's so hard. if we think about it logically, if a frozen food is frozen solid, it's frozen. There's the temperature becomes irrelevant. So a simple assessment of the hardness of the product, just checking that there's no soft spots, is enough to receive that food product in safely without having to mess about trying to take a temperature of that frozen food. And what we spoke about in the group yesterday is if you go to the supermarket and you're going to buy a frozen food product, when you put your hand in the freezer and you pick up that product, if it's soft, you would reject it. You wouldn't use it. So it's we do very similar things at home that we would do in a kitchen as well because it makes sense, it's logical and it's practical.
Gotcha. And one final question. If you could have a billboard at the next major aged care conference and you could have one message on it,
what would it be? You've put me on the spot there. I think simplification and be practical.
Great. That's perfect.
And understand what you're actually managing and don't get railroaded into things that don't actually make sense.
So, Emma, thank you very much. Where can our listeners find you?
Okay, so I'm from Simple Food Safety and they can find me on the internet by just Googling Simple Food Safety.
Great, and I'll link in the show notes. Once again, Emma, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Aged Care Executive Podcast. What drives us is knowing that we're providing content to help aged and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your colleagues. Don't forget to hit subscribe. It's free. And also leave us a review. 5 stars, hopefully, but if not, that's okay. But please, leave a comment and let us know what we can do better, or if there's any particular topics you'd like to hear about. If you'd like to connect with us or have any questions, you can find us on LinkedIn and Facebook at the Aged Care Executive Podcast.